I'd like you to open tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Actually, make that 2 Corinthians. Chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, this past Sunday, I had a message. It was more or less like a follow-up, the concluding message for the conference. And just some things I want to exhort you with and encourage you as far as all this is concerned. You'll understand as we get into this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we won't go through everything, but what's happened in verses 1 through 6, Paul's talking about how that he was caught up to the third heaven and had an encounter with Jesus, and that the Lord gave him tremendous revelations. And these revelations that he gave him became what we received as far as Scripture is concerned, you know, teaching and all that. We'll pick this up in verse 7. He says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And I know a lot of people have terribly mistaught this, that God was the one that was coming against Paul to try to keep him from being exalted above measure. And, you know, as I shared before, you know, in verse 7 here, he said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan." God doesn't use Satan or devils to be a messenger. This was an attack of Satan. And where he says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure," what he's talking about is God had given him these revelations, and then he in turn was going to give these to the church. And Satan didn't like that, because in part it was giving a revelation of the victory that we have over him, the authority we have over him. And so Satan says, you know, we have to put a stop to this. So it says that there was given to Paul a thorn in the flesh. And, you know, Paul went to God three times, says, you know, please make this thing depart. And in verse 9, God gave him the answer, and he said, "My grace is sufficient. Because in your weakness, my grace will make you strong." Well, if God was the one doing this to him, why in the world would God turn around and give him the answer to make it stop? You see what I'm saying? So Paul says, well, if that's the case, then, you know, praise God. I will glory every time something attacks me, every time something comes up. I'll praise God because I know it can't beat me. I will appeal to God's grace, I will tap into that grace, and I will receive the strength to help me get through no matter what it is. Now notice here in verse 7, he says, "A thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me." In other words, to do what he could to stop my progress. Let's think for a moment about this. The messenger of Satan, what did this messenger do? Paul identifies this as a, I guess you could say, like a ruling demon. I mean, a messenger of Satan. You have to be doing some damage to the kingdom of darkness to get a personal messenger from Satan sent your way. And so this messenger of Satan came, and what does a messenger do? Delivers a message. All right, now, what message was the messenger of Satan delivering? Well, Paul says the messenger of Satan was sent to buffet me. So the message the messenger was delivering was, stop. Don't go any further. How did the messenger do that? Did this some demon just appear in front of Paul with a pitchfork, you know, horns and pointy tail? Say, "You better stop. You better stop. If you know what's good for you, you better stop." Would that have worked? Well, no. Paul would have just said, "In the name of Jesus." So it had to have been some other way that this messenger was trying to get his message across? The answer is in chapter 11. Pick it up in verse 21. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. As though we had been weak. What was happening? The messenger of Satan was giving him a message, and three times he said, "Help me," and God said, "My grace is sufficient." And Paul said, "Aha, if I appeal to the grace, God's strength fills in the gaps where my weakness falls short." See that? So he says, "I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak." As though we had been weak. In other words, we learned how to overcome our weakness. How did we learn to overcome our weakness? Through the grace of God that supplied the strength for us to overcome the attack of the enemy. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Now let's stop right here. What's happened is there have been a lot of preachers who have come against Paul and basically said, well, he's not really an apostle. Or he's not really called of God. They were doing what they could to speak against him. And that's very important to remember, because it wouldn't have mattered if people outside the church were saying things against him. Because the church wouldn't have listened to the people outside the church anyway. So this was coming, and if you go back and read all of chapter 11, you'll see this. There were people within the church, the body of Christ, coming against Paul. And so he says in verse 21, howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. Now where he says, are they ministers of Christ? And then he says, I speak as a fool. It's like he's saying, I'm being sarcastic here. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak sarcastically. I am more. Now look what he says. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, mean in beatings, stripes, whippings, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. I mean, Jesus was only beaten with 39 lashes 1 time. This has happened to him 5 times. Thrice I was beaten with rods. That's where they lay you down and strap you to a table, and they take a rod and they beat the bottom of your feet till the bones are broken and you can't walk. And typically what it does, it cripples the person for life. Well, this has happened to him 3 times. And he's still going. Talk about a healing, praise God. Once I was stoned. Now that does not mean... Whoa, dude. Third heaven, man. Hallelujah. No, it's not talking about that. It's talking about when they stoned him. You can read about it in Acts. They stoned him. They left him for dead. He was raised from the dead. Once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen. The Jews were coming against him. In perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? And I am not weak? Who is offended? And I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artus, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Stop here. It is not expedient for you to glory. Glory about what? Look at all the stuff that's happened to him.
He's giving us a list of everything that messenger did to him to stop him. And if you, look at all these things that happened. And he only cried out three times, "Get this thing off my back." And God said, "Whoa, hold on here. My grace is sufficient." "Oh, I get it. So I appeal to your grace. Your grace strengthens me, and I can get through the beatings. I can get through the stonings. I can get through the rods. I can get through the stripes. I can get through the shipwrecks. I can get through the perils of the water, perils of the cold, perils of my countrymen. I can get through everything." And then at the end of this, after he goes through this litany of problems, he says, "You know what? It's not needful. It's not a good thing for me to glory." Where do you get glory out of this? Because I don't see it as suffering. I see it as victory over every one of these things that Satan threw against me through that messenger. I don't see it as belly aching and complaining. I see it as me standing up and bragging about how I have overcome everything. But it's not by my might I did this. It's by God's grace that He got me through this. Now look at this. What we just read here in chapter 11, this is describing what the messenger of Satan was doing to him to try and stop him from going to the next city and going to the next city and going to the next city to deliver these revelations that he had received from the Lord. This messenger was buffeted. You don't think that's being buffeted? Gee whiz. Most people would say, "Well, you know what? If you're really called of God, those things wouldn't be happening to you." And yet Paul knew he was called of God. He recognized the difference between perils and obedience and perils and disobedience. Don't be too quick to judge somebody because they're going through a hardship in life. And this is everything that messenger was doing. And the reason that Paul went through this list was because there were people in the church, the body of Christ, coming against him. And he even mentions that when he talks about my own countrymen. Even the Jews were coming against me. Now, what I'm getting at is this. Other than like the shipwreck, basically everything in here is a result of what people did to him. And in many cases, he was arrested because the Jews rose up against him and complained to the authorities, and then the authorities locked him up. And so much of this, the majority of all of this that happened, was because his own people were coming against him. Now, this is important to remember because of where we're headed here tonight. The reason all of this took place was because of the revelations he had received from the Lord. Now look back over in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And pick this up in verse 14. Jesus said, "The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." And we're going to stop here at verse 19. Notice in verse 14 it says, "The sower soweth the word." Okay, now what happened with Paul? He was caught up in the heavens, the third heaven. He had an encounter with Jesus, and Jesus did what? He sowed the word into Paul. And as soon as Paul had finished with this encounter with the Lord, what happened? A messenger of Satan was sent to buffet him because of the revelations he had just received. In other words, Satan came immediately to steal the word that was sown. And what Jesus is saying here is,
The same thing is going to be true for you. You say, okay, well, help me understand, you know, what are you getting at here? What happened all last week in the conference? The sowers were sowing the word. The sowers were, service after service after service. There was more word sown just during the offerings than some churches have had in years. Those 10 to 12 to 14 minute, whatever it was, you know, times of the exhortation and offering, you know, that came from the word, there was so much meat just in the exhortations over the offerings. And what's sad is that so many Christians could have come in and sat down just for the offerings, and they'd have gotten more than they've heard in who knows how long. Satan comes immediately to steal the word that was sown. How was it done with Paul? Well, other than the shipwreck and you know, those kind of things, everything that happened to him happened as a result of what people did to him. Said a little bit differently. The messenger of Satan motivated people to come against Paul to try and steal the word that had been sown into his life. In other words, not to try and erase his memory, but to derail him off of what the word had been doing in him, what it was producing through him. All he had to do was say, I quit. That's it. I'm not going to one more city. I'm tired of being beaten. I'm tired of being, you know, whipped. I'm tired of being thrown into prison. I am going to Tarsus and just live out my days. And all the beatings, everything would have stopped. But it was almost like he realized, once he got that word from God, you know, my grace is sufficient, it's almost like he realized, oh, okay, so no matter what happens, I appeal to your grace, it strengthens me, and everything that people are doing to me, I just pass right on through it. And I can't be stopped. We sat through a conference last week where the word was sown in our hearts. Continually sown in our hearts. Satan comes immediately to steal the word. If he did it through people with Paul, how do you think he's going to do it with you? He's going to try and find people that he can use to come against you to stop the progress you're making since the conference. Now let me show you this. Verse 14 is the conference. The sower soweth the word. Verse 15. Here's what we see. Now again, this isn't going to be verse by verse, word by word breakdown, but the word sown, and Satan comes immediately to take away the word that was sown in their hearts. The thing is, it says that these people, at the beginning of verse 15, are by the wayside. Now what that means is this. Okay, let's just use the conference as an example. People who sat through the conference, but they didn't sit in the conference. Do you understand what I mean by that? They went through it, but they were never in it. They were here, they were in the seats, but they were by the wayside. They may have stood up during praise and worship, sang, but they were still on the wayside. They may have said, Amen! But they were still on the wayside. They were here, you know, the lights were on, but nobody was home. Do you understand what I mean? And if you had seen them, it would have looked like, wow, praise God. You know, they're really getting something out of this. And they may have even said, you know, after a service, boy, that was a good sermon. Boy, praise God, that Gary Carpenter, the way he exhorts over the offering. I tell you, it's just incredible. And on it would have gone. That's what these people would have done. See, you have to understand, all of these people were in the place to receive the word. Otherwise, the word couldn't have been sown into their lives. They were all at the conference. They were all there. Probably every service. And the word was sown.
But they were there, but they weren't there. They were by the wayside. They attended, but they were still by the wayside. And notice, in verse 16, it talks about, these are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground. And in verse 17, it says, and have no root in themselves. They were in the conference. They were people who attended. Because he says the sower sows the word. Satan can't steal what hasn't been sown. You understand what I'm saying? So all of these people that he's describing here, all of them were in a position to hear, to have the word sown into their lives. And the sower sowed the word, and then Satan comes and begins to work on them. Now here's the tricky part. What he does is he looks for people who are by the wayside, who are stony and without root. He looks for people like that so he can begin to work on them to get them to come against you to try to stop the progress that you're making as a result of the word being sown in your life. They want to latch onto you and pull you to the wayside with them. They want to fill you, just like all those people that Paul was speaking about in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, those people that were coming against him. These were people in the church, in the body of Christ. And they were coming against him. And so he was saying, hey, listen, no matter what they say, they're not really the ministers of Christ that you think. Let me tell you what I have gone through and how God's grace has gotten me through all of this stuff. And let me tell you how I got the revelations that led to these attacks. Well, likewise, Satan comes immediately to steal the word that's sown. Every single one of us, whether it's somebody who was in the conference or somebody out there who wasn't a part of the conference, you need to understand somebody is going to do something to try and stop your progress. Thing is, they're not going to come to you and say, hey, you know what? I'm here to stop your progress in the Lord. It just happens. They open their mouths and the stuff just begins to flow. Now, I want to show you some more on this. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, the people that are by the wayside and the people that are stony and have no root, what we're going to read describes what is happening on the inside of them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Okay, well, what are the strongholds? Here it is. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The people that are by the wayside, the people that are stony and without root, what's happened is they are allowing their minds to be filled with imaginations that are not of God, and those imaginations are coming against the word that was sown in them. And those imaginations are exalting themselves above the word that was sown. They were there. They heard it. See, Satan's going to work more from within than from without. Because remember, if it had been a devil with a pitchfork showing up to Paul, I'm going to stop you. Paul would have just said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get out of here. Get thee hence. Just like that little girl that had the devil, the fortune teller girl, cast the devil out of her. See, listen, Paul didn't have a problem with devils. His problem was with people. Somebody, well, what's the difference, Brother Martin? Some people, it's hard to tell. See, we have authority over devils, but we don't have authority over people. You can't control people. This is why Paul cried out to God for help. If it was just a demon and nothing but a demon, then he would have just said in the name of Jesus, get thee hence, pack it up and go, and the thing would have obeyed him, and he knew that. But he realized this devil is operating a little bit differently than other, like a sniffly-nosed devil or whatever. This thing is motivating people to come against me. I can't control them, so what am I going to do? God, help me. And God said, my grace is sufficient. Paul caught on, he says, oh, okay,
So regardless of what they do and how they do it, the bottom line is, your grace strengthens me to get through what people do to me. Whether they do it physically or whether they do it verbally, your grace strengthens me to get through it, and the word will not be stopped. It will not be removed. And so, the stony, no root, wayside people are letting imaginations govern their thoughts. And you know how you can tell that? Whenever imaginations are governing a person's thought, they will speak those imaginations. You'll know where they're coming from. They will begin to confess. They will begin to, however it comes forth, criticism, trash talk, belittling, just buffeting, you know, coming against people. That's how it works. Now I'm going to give you an example in the life of Jesus. Turn over to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Now the story we're about to read comes from Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 22, but it also occurs in Luke chapter 11, verses 14 through 26. Same incident, but there are different elements of this story in both Matthew and Luke. So I'm going to start reading in verse 22. And as I do, what I'm going to be reading to you is the combined story from both Matthew and Luke, and you just follow along here in Matthew. So beginning in verse 22, "There was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. And all the people were amazed, and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children, your sons, cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges." In other words, what he's saying there is, hey, ain't none of you casting devils out. And you say you're called of God, ordained of God, serving God, empowered by God. So how come you're not casting out devils? What he's actually saying is, you're more of the devil than you are of God. It's one of the reasons these guys got upset with him later on. And so he says, "But if I cast out devils by the finger of God, the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you,
that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, I want you to see one more verse in this. In verse 38, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered what? All these things he was saying. They answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. He just cast the devil out of this guy, and the man who was dumb and blind, I mean, he was healed. And they're saying, we would see a sign from you. Like what? More than this? I cast the devil out of this man, he gets healed, he gets restored, and you say you want to see a sign? Let me see you do this. And the thing is, they're saying, look, we want to see a sign from thee. Prove you're from heaven. I just did, and that's not good enough for you. Now, here's what I'm doing here in this passage. These were religious leaders who knew the law. They should have known better. They came against Jesus in what he was saying and what he was doing. In essence, what they were saying was, this man is not doing right before God, and the things he does are not of God. That's what they were saying. Okay, how's that work with us? Satan comes immediately to steal the word. Jesus was ministering by the word. Satan was coming to try to steal the word from these people. See, it wasn't just the Pharisees that witnessed this. It was a whole bunch of other people. And so Satan moved immediately, I mean on the scene immediately, to try and discredit Jesus so the people wouldn't believe in Jesus. And he was doing it through the Pharisees, through the religious leaders, through people who had been there and heard the word and seen the miracle. And they were saying, oh, this isn't of God. He's not of God. What he's doing, that's just not right. And they came against him. Okay, same thing today. These people that are stony, no root, wayside people, they heard the word, it was sown into their lives, and one of the things they're going to do is come right back and begin criticizing the messengers. Begin criticizing the people involved. Begin speaking out and coming against them. Why? Why? To stop you in your tracks. To try to get you so caught up in everything that they are saying. What did Jesus say? I mean, he specifically talks about here in verses 33 through 37, he specifically talks about what people are saying. And he says right here, verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. In other words, if I'm receiving the word, then I'm going to, in Mark it talks about if you hear it and you receive it, you bring forth 30, 60, 100-fold. Well, here he says in verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. I've heard the word. It was sown into me. And now what I'm going to do is bring forth the 30, the 60, the 100-fold good things of the word that was sown on the inside of me. But then he turns right around and says, an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. The people that sat right there and had the word sown in them. When he says that the evil man brings forth the evil things, who is he talking about? He was talking about the Pharisees and those religious leaders who were right there and heard everything he said and witnessed everything he did and still spoke against him and said he was of the devil. Still said it wasn't of God. Still criticized what he did. And denied it. Satan was trying to steal the word from the people so they wouldn't receive what God was trying to do in their lives. Same thing in the conference. Same thing. Satan is going to work through people to try and stop your progress. If he can, he'll get you to listen to them. If he can, he'll get you to start listening to them, to their criticisms. And listen, guys, you know how many times at Halloween parents, put costumes on their kids? This is not an endorsement. We all know this happens, okay? So don't go saying, Pastor says, put a costume on Halloween, the goblins and this. I'm not saying do that, okay? But I'm saying we know what happened. When I was a kid, I did it. Here's the thing. You walk out of the house, you know, you're dressed like whatever. Your parents know who you are. You're not fooling anybody. And your friends, you know, when you talk, they recognize your voice. They know who you are. You might have a Batman mask on or whatever it is you dress up like. But they know who you are. The stony people, the wayside, no root people, they put on a mask. But when they open their mouth, you know who's behind the mask. And they're going to come at you. And they're going to come at you. And they're going to... In fact, Paul makes reference about... in 1 and 2 Timothy, he makes reference about to two men, Alexander and Hymenaeus. And apparently Alexander and Hymenaeus started off on the right track, but they got off. And they began to come against Paul. They began to speak against Paul. And in fact, Paul even said that they have begun to shipwreck people's faith because of what they were saying. And it wasn't the lost people that they were shipwrecking. It was the people in the body of Christ. They were leading them astray. They were impacting them. And Paul at one point even said, I've turned them over to Satan so they would learn not to blaspheme. You say, well, that's pretty mean. Why didn't he chase after them? Why didn't he run over to their house and knock on their door? Alexander, Hymenaeus, come on, man. Let's go down to Krispy Kreme. Have a donut. Have some coffee. You know, let's work this out. From Paul's perspective, enough word has been sown in their life. They should know better. Because if they were novices, what I mean is, if they were fresh in Christianity, he would not have said, I've turned them over to Satan so they'd learn not to blaspheme. He's talking about people that have been in the services and been in the services and been in the conferences and had the word sown and sown and sown and sown, but they begin to give themselves over to imaginations that exalted themselves against the knowledge of God. Then they turned around and began to speak this stuff into the lives of people, and it had such an impact on some folks, it began to shipwreck their faith. And so Paul says, hey, these aren't spring chicks to Christianity. These are people that have been around. These are people that should have known better. These are people that have had the Word sown in them. These are people born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. These are people that at one point could have been trusted, but now they've given themselves over to these imaginations. And he said, they're shipwrecking people's faith. They're destroying them with their words. And he says, so you know what? I've turned them over to Satan so they'd learn not to blaspheme. That's pretty serious. Here's the point I'm getting at. The people that are stony, wayside, no root people, there comes a point in time you have to draw the line, say, that's it, man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're not going to shipwreck me with your words. I'm not going to receive it. I'm not going to have it. You want to be an Alexander and a Hymenaeus? That is totally up to you. But just know this. When you die in 3 months, should it happen like that? I'll be at your funeral. Pastor, he'll preach it. You know, we'll do everything we can to console those you've left behind. But when you stand before God, don't you even think of trying to blame me. You say, well, come on, Brother Martin, that's pretty strong. Well, what did Paul say about the fellow over there in 1 Corinthians? Turn him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. Why was that? Because if you study that passage out, what you'll see is that man's words were beginning to convince people in that church that his sin was okay and acceptable. Paul said, hey, you're not grieving over this. Crazy thing is, you're almost rejoicing over it. He says, what's wrong with you? You're fools for doing this. This is crazy. Turn him over to Satan. God's word has already judged him. Let me show you something. Look over Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to give you this one verse to encourage you in this, because it's spiritual warfare, guys. It is. And what's bad is if, and I say if, the stony, wayside, no root person happens to be someone that you thought was your friend. Like Paul thought Alexander and Hymenaeus were his friends. In Proverbs chapter 4, look in verse 23. Q keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What did Jesus say? A good man out of the good treasure brings forth the good stuff. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth the evil stuff. And so he's saying here, this word keep, it comes from a Hebrew word, netzar, and what it means is to guard, to watch over, to protect. And where he says, keep thy heart with all diligence, it almost describes somebody in a fight, and they take off the gloves. Phooey with this padded stuff, man. Now it's bare knuckles. I'm going to keep my heart with all diligence. Satan's not going to steal it, no matter who he uses to come in. The battle's on. And that's when you engage Ephesians 6, you know, the armor. It's time for another victory. Hallelujah. Now, the reason I'm sharing all this is because Jesus said Satan comes immediately to steal the word. I would almost be foolish not to encourage you to keep your heart with all diligence. Because if we know that Satan comes immediately to steal the word, then we're not exempt. You know, it's amazing how many times we read Scripture and you get around Christians and it's almost like we think, well, that's for everybody else but me. I mean, you know, I'm okay. This isn't going to happen to me. But Jesus was talking to we. I mean, I don't care who you are. And you too, out there watching, don't think that just because you're, you know, 1,000 miles away watching by way of internet and so forth, that this doesn't impact you either. It does. Listen, and not only that, for the people who will get a hold of this, that maybe weren't here, didn't watch, but they'll get a hold of the entire conference on the MP3 CD, and they listen, the word will be sown. And Satan will come immediately to steal the word. But we have to keep our heart with all diligence. It's going to happen. You know, Jesus counted Judas as a close friend. The book of Psalms prophesies that. You know, my friend that I've broken bread with, you know, he's lifted his heel against me. You know the old adage, you can't trust anybody? Well, that's not true. But what it does mean, for us, guard your heart against everybody. Weigh their words on the scale of truth. And I can tell you right now, during that conference, there were funny times, there were times of tears and so forth. But what happened was of God. And there were a lot of people that were blessed during non-sermon times, during the meals and during the fellowship time, because there were divine connections. You know, I had a message here quite a while back, the power of divine connections. There were divine connections God made during the conference. People didn't know each other. By the end of the week, man, they were blessing each other with the words that they were speaking into each other's life. See, it's not just the sermon sowing. It's the entirety of everything that God did through people to sow into the lives of others. Even the people watching who may have gotten together after the conference services and gone to lunch or whatever, you know, 3,000 miles away. And as God moves there to sow into them through each other, Satan comes immediately to steal the word. You say, well, gee whiz, Brother Martin, yeah, that's almost scary. No. It's nothing to be scared about. Listen, Jesus is telling you up front what's happening. He's just giving you the heads up warning. He comes immediately to steal the word. He comes immediately to begin to take away from you that which God's been doing in your life. But we can guard our heart with all diligence. All diligence. If that means that you have to sever a relationship with an Alexander or Hymenaeus, that's what you have to do. It's one thing. Okay, remember all those people that were with Jesus? And they heard the word, and they came against him because a part of the word that Jesus was delivering, you know, they didn't want to receive it. They walked away. And Jesus looked at the apostles and says, you want to go too? And they said, no, you've got the words of life. But Jesus never went after those people. Oh, the people that left him, he still went to the cross for them, but he never chased after them.
And there comes a point in time to where if there's an Alexander Hymenaeus in your life, you don't stop loving them. You don't stop extending grace and mercy to them. But there comes a point in time to where, I mean, think of it like this. Alexander Hymenaeus, if you read everything else that Paul wrote, there was no way that Paul personally had an agenda against those two men. His concern was the damage they were doing to the body of Christ. And he said, I've turned them over to Satan, not to get even, but so they learn not to blaspheme. In other words, they're damaging other people's walk with God, shipwrecking their faith, but they're destroying themselves in the process. Paul was basically saying, it's better if they die young as opposed to continuing on this path and end up in hell. It's whether they die young and just spend eternity with Jesus. They'll lose out on some rewards, but praise God, they'll be there with Him. And if that's what it takes, you know, Dr. Dobson, James Dobson came out years ago with that thing called tough love. There's a lot of truth to that, guys. A lot of truth to that. And so this message tonight is simply to warn you, guard your heart with all diligence. No matter who it is, no matter what the circumstances, don't let anything create imaginations in you that would begin to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Guard your heart with all diligence, and let He who began a good work in you continue to perfect it from this day forward.